You're listening to Eye on the Ball with Steve Rivera. This podcast is a Bustos Media production on The Voice. Be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
Hey, good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to Eye on the Ball. I'm Steve Rivera, and you're listening to 1030 The Voice. As I sit here, I have my usual monthly guest, CPR to you, and we're talking about sports injuries. I know they've been busy, back and forth at a lot of events and kind of starting new ventures that they're going to be doing. It's always in the news. I wanted to talk to Sean, of course, Kimball, and Mike. Tell me again.
Balta.
I always get that last name wrong. And two, it's going to be a good show today. You know why? The boss ain't here. So it'll be very informative. I don't know if you saw this just a couple days ago. It just happened today, though. There was a big fight over the weekend. A guy named Patrick Day got beat up pretty badly. Competitive, though. You know, you don't know this in a boxing match. He passed away today. So, I asked this of Lamont Hundley, who you know who he was, and I'll talk about this later. But boxing, are you surprised you don't see more of this in that sport?
So part of the stuff, you have to really look at the history of boxing as you come through the different decades. And so basically what's happened with boxing over the years is if you take a look back to the 20s or 30s and 40s, the size of the gloves have changed substantially.
Mm-hmm.
Also, they used to not have...
From big to small.
From small to big.
Small to big, okay.
Absolutely. So, I mean, you take a look at some of the old-time boxers, and their face was just hamburger. And so what happened was you have a couple of things. Yes, you're sustaining... a lot of trauma to the face, but what happened was you didn't go for as long.
Okay. Right,
so,
right.
You know, it's almost like getting hit by a pillow or getting hit by a baseball bat. So what happens is, you know, when you're watching these guys, the thicker the gloves are, the more damage that they're going to take. So, I mean, you take a look at, the sport of boxing, and, it's not just about, you know, punching to the body or outscoring somebody, you're actually trying to knock somebody out. That's mm-hmm. what your goal is to hit their off button. And so when you have something like this, and, you know, I'm not saying pro or anti-boxing, but you do take your life in your hands all the time.
Every
time.
Go
in there.
Yeah.
Absolutely you are. So the big thing is to be trained. This was a championship fight that they were going for. The guy had been down several times. Boxing has made a lot of regulations and rules to try to basically make the sport safer. I mean, we used to go 15 rounds.
Mm-hmm.
You know, about 20 years ago, we had a boxer that had the same problem. They basically kept him propped up for 15 rounds, and ultimately he died in the ring. So they said, okay, we're no longer going to do 15 rounds. We're going to go 12. So you have anywhere from 10 to 12. If you take a look at the up-and-coming young boxers, they only go, you know, 3 or 4 rounds when they first start off, and they gradually work their way up to where they get to 8 and then 10 rounds. But as far as the constant, you know, I mean, you can take a look at some of the greats in the past. I mean, we're now starting to see a lot of the head injuries that are involved.
Mm-hmm.
I was sad to see that over the weekend. You never want to see anything like that. It affects the whole family. It affects the sport of boxing. It affects the other boxer. You know, I mean, there's just so many things out of it. I mean, you had two gentlemen that were doing what they loved.
Mm-hmm.
This is what they did for a living. They chose to do this for a living, and one didn't make it. And we talked about this over the last couple months about head injuries, and whether it's an immediate head injury or whether it takes time, takes its toll. I mean, we're taking a look at how the NFL is affecting brain injuries and how they're doing different things as they go through that process. But
mm-hmm.
the big one to kind of understand is just the sustainability. I mean, how many times can you get hit in the head? And so
that's why I say, I mean, the sport itself is just a brutal sport, one like you were talking about. And if you get here a few times and we go to UFC or mm-hmm. whatever, those fights, those are even more brutal.
Yeah, the MMA ones.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And you guys are new, have a new business, correct? What, tell me about it. Going to the events like this, possibly?
Absolutely. So we're starting up a new venture. It's called EMS 2U. It's kind of following our theme of the 2U family for us. And EMS stands for Emergency Medical Standby. And so we'll kind of segue over here in just a second and talk about The Mexican Baseball League that just came up a few weekends ago. But basically what it is, yeah, absolutely. So when you're going to all sporting events, you do have medical personnel that are for the spectators, and you have obviously people that are on the field for whatever sport that they're going to play, whether it's baseball, soccer, basketball, football, anything along those lines. They have individuals that are going to do that. So our new company that we're looking at doing is we're going to do standbys for every type of event you can imagine. It doesn't necessarily have to be a full contact sport. I mean, we could go to a tennis match if we needed to, because what happens is we don't know what the people's health issues are in the stands that are watching. I mean, they could get excited, they can increase their heart rate, and something can happen with them. And they have an issue there.
I don't want to kind of switch gears here, so let's go right to it. Arizona, throughout the years in basketball, not so much football, we'll say basketball, because they've been like teased about the cardiac cats, yada, yada, tough games. You've seen it. I'm sure you've seen it, where fans pass out in the stands.
Oh, absolutely. We, with the former company I used to work with, did medical standbys for the basketball, football game. So, yeah, they have medical standby for every game.
And is that the group that does it now? Or
that's the ALS, AMR, and they do the ALS standbys for the U of A football.
Right. It happens. Well, you know, it's an older crowd, too.
Well, you've had heart attacks in the stands before, too.
Right. So, yeah, you're aware. I've seen a couple.
Yeah,
I've seen a couple, and it's not surprising to me. They could be winning by 20, but most of the time it's when they're losing by 3 or by 2. Yeah. And so that doesn't surprise you? I'm sure it happens more, just not publicized.
No, it happens, and it's when they usually get some alcohol in them. And that kind of exacerbates a little bit. Then you get your elderly people that. That get there. I mean, they're walking in with, you know, in wheelchairs and walkers, and you know, sometimes they leave in a gurney.
So let me ask you: how does alcohol promote that? The possibility of a heart attack or heart issues?
Well, it just depends on how much you drink. I mean, if you do have an underlying issue, the alcohol can bring it out.
In what sense?
In the sense of increased heart rate. And
if you already have an issue,
right? And people tend to get violent and start fights and everything else. So
so it promotes it that way.
Yeah.
Well, I knew that part, but I didn't know. Let's assume for a second you don't get it fights, or your heart rate doesn't, alcohol that won't affect it that way. Or does it?
No, it's actually a downer. It's kind of get effective. That what happens is usually a lot of times when the alcohol's involved, it's just like anything else. We always call it liquid courage. So what happens is basically it stops their inhibitions, and what they do at that point is they're not thinking clearly. Mm-hmm. They're going to do things that they probably shouldn't do. But for the most part, on all these, when you talk about the cardiac cat or any type of event where people are, historically have a following for them, the bigger issue that you have is it doesn't necessarily have to be a close game. I mean, you have those people all the time that are always going to second guess the coach or, you know, the referee, or that was a bad call. And then they spend the rest of the time just yelling and screaming at either the people around them or the competitors or that. And, you know, that just, it increases your heart rate. It can cause some issues in the end.
Right. So there's not an exaggeration if you get like all in a frenzy or whatever, your mouth is frothy, you know, with you're damn guy. And it happens like that, I guess, right?
Well,
it also happens to someone who's just sitting there watching the game.
Absolutely. So, well, you've heard the fight or flight. You know, you get in the fight or flight. And basically what it is it releases adrenaline in our system. And with that adrenaline, basically, it surges in there. It creates the heart to where you're either going to run or you're going to fight. And so when these people get angry and, you know, they start getting a little boisterous going on, that's not very good for your heart. So, and like you said, the same thing happens. You can have somebody with an underlying condition. And you know what? They didn't have to even be at the game. They could have been at a movie theater.
Yeah,
they could have been
right.
walking down the street. So, yeah,
right.
absolutely.
Didn't we talk about this kind of luck of the draw? Have we talked about that where, you know, some healthy dude is just kind of walking and boom, it happens?
Yeah, it can happen. Yeah. I mean, what we're trying to do is live a long, healthy life if we're able to do that. And so the trick with all that is to you know, go to the doctor regularly, go get checkups, see what your cholesterol level is, see what your diabetes are, what your lipid profile is. And, you know, the other part of that, too, is don't just sit around. You know, they've done tons of study that says if you sit for so many hours and you're not getting up and walking around, I mean, that can cause issues. So, I mean, we did talk about this. We talked about it a few months ago because we were talking about the guy that created Runner's World, the magazine, and fell over at 50. And you know what? He did that. He became a runner because his family was dying at a young age genetically. They were predisposed for that.
Right.
And, you know, it's the old joke of, well, if he wouldn't have been running, he probably wouldn't have died. But, you know, some of your genetic dispositions are going to get in the way in that situation. But for the most part, you got to try to take care of yourself, you know, maintain the proper weight and eat healthy, and you know, remind, sound like a doctor.
Remind me why I have you guys on. You guys are depressing.
So you called us. You just ask the questions. We answer. If you don't like those, we'll have to talk about it. Ask different questions.
Let's go Pollyanna, man. Let's go Pollyanna. Let's also go to commercial. We'll get somebody on the other side here on 1030 The Voice. Trusted local news and talk. Hey, welcome back to Eye on the Ball here on 1030 The Voice. I'm Steve Rivera, in with Sean Kimball and Mr. Mike Baltas. Let me real quick. You had a chance with your new organization, kind of, to do the Mexican Baseball League or Fiesta. Was that your first time?
Yes.
Wasn't a blast.
Well, actually, our second year.
Our second year. It was a blast. Mm-hmm. I'm sure.
Oh, it was awesome. Yeah, it was awesome seeing all the people there. I mean,
habla español.
Yeah, it was very busy. The first night, Thursday, we did it 4 days in a row, and Thursday through Sunday, and
so no sleep.
No, we were, we were there from 3:30 in the afternoon till sometimes 12:30, 1 o'clock in the morning.
Really? Yeah. Because you're there because things could happen at any time.
Oh, absolutely. With the baseballs, with the foul balls, people can get hit by them, and you have just general injuries. We've had people stung by bees.
Yeah.
We've had workers cut their fingers with the knives, and so we've had quite the gamut of people.
Yeah, well, and it was in the thousands. I know the first night was a few thousand. Every night was a few thousand.
Oh, yeah, the first night, what they estimate, Sean, about 7,000 people.
Oh, really, that many?
Yeah.
There was a lot of people.
Yeah,
there
so it was a packed house.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and a lot of people having fun. You were talking about from any age, little girls to old men, probably.
Yeah, we had a little girl that hit her chin pretty good and ended up having to get stitches. Mm-hmm. So Mom and Dad took her across the way. That's lucky it falls right next to one of the hospitals. So
They
were able to just go right across the street and make that happen.
In fact, let's go to the phone lines now and talk to Mike Fader, the guy who kind of co-created the Mexican Baseball Fiesta, the league there. Mike, how are you?
Hey, Steve, how are you?
Fine, thank you. So these guys were at your event. It's obviously crucial to have this type of security and or security in terms of health and wellness. How was it for them or for you?
Well, I mean, the good news is that we didn't have to use it much except for a few foul balls. And it's an important precaution. Bill has always been good to us. I mean, I think it's overkill in what Pima County expects us to have. But he's, you know, Bill's a trooper. He when we needed to, they fill in and they do a great job. And probably, if anything, they probably fell asleep sitting in the first aid room. And things were great.
Did you have a camera in there watching us, Mike?
I did. and a certain person already sent me 10 emails telling me about that.
So, Mike, you know, you've seen the threads, you know, the for the foul balls. Tell me the protection at the major league level. Do you think it's going to happen at the AAA level, minor league level?
I think at the AAA level it will, not probably in an amateur facility like we have. Because, you know, at a AAA level or a AA level, you're playing 72 home games. When you've got that's significant. And I think safety is important. I mean, I think that, you know, you're gonna get somebody drilled? I hope not. But does it happen? Of course it happens. And I mean, I don't know if you guys were watching the game in Houston last few days ago, but an EMT got drilled in the afternoon. And oh my God, to see Michael Brantley's face and the dugout and the reaction by the visiting team, it was pretty tough.
Why?
Hopefully he was okay.
This may be a dumb question, but why is this a big topic now when it's been going on for years? Is it
because of TV? When all of a sudden you got replays all the time and then you see that little girl, the little boy get hit, then it's a big story.
And, yeah, because the camera follows the ball now.
Right. And there's so many cameras. So, you know, so when you have that, it becomes more focused, you know, where did it happen 20, 30 years ago? Of course it did. It just, you know, it wasn't seen. I mean, that's a terrible reason. But that, the it's a litigious society we live in. And, you know, you hate to say that that's the reason you have to worry about it, but it's obviously one of the reasons, because of the dangers and the potential lawsuits. And but safety should always come first, and the most part it always does.
Right, right. And at the level that you're talking, single A, double A, I assume that money is a big reason why?
Well, it's up to generally, in the minor league level, the facility is owned by a municipality, city or county government. So their risk management people have to make decisions on how important it is. It very rarely would become incumbent on the team because the team, in the most part, doesn't own the facility. So thus, you know, that's where you are. And it's, you know, you never want to see anybody get hurt. But, I mean, think about it, you know, just yourself. How many times have you seen it over the last few years, or seen on SportsCenter, or watch it, compared to what you would have seen 5 years ago?
What, and these guys have seen, I know I'll talk to them in a bit, but what's the worst thing you've seen in the stands regarding that? You're at the ballpark all the time.
Yeah, knock on wood, and I'll probably have to ask my wife, what's the worst injury we've ever had at the ballpark by a foul ball? She remembers all these things. I don't remember those things. But I guess the answer is it really wasn't anything dramatic. Now, I will tell you, a bat boy got hit and was by a bat and was really hurt. So now, again, I'm sorry, I'm in the car. But what you've got is you have helmets on the third base coach. You remember there was a third base coach in the minor league that was hurt badly. Do you guys remember that story?
Oh, absolutely.
So
I think we may have lost him. We lost.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, now we can.
Okay, but so you have coaches that are wearing it, and then you've got bat boys, even preceding coaches, all wearing them now. So, you know, you got to protect yourself. And I've seen coaches really get drilled over the years.
Tom, I can remember one.
Wait, you could hear my wife. She's jumping in the background.
All right, I can remember one incident where a foul ball.
Can you hear her all right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Where a foul ball hit a fan in the face and split his nose, like, open.
But not, I mean, and I don't want to minimize that.
No.
But it's not like an, oh, my God,
yeah,
you know, a death situation, yeah, you know, life or death. So thank goodness in our career, it was never anything, you know, bad. And our nets were definitely a lot shorter, a lot closer. The fans were a lot closer to the field than they are in the big league.
Right, right. For a couple that have watched, 70 games, 100, about 21,000, whatever, thousands of games you've watched, that's pretty good deal.
I'll tell you, what happens is usually, and probably even in the big league, people aren't paying attention.
Yeah, right. That's it.
Right.
And, you know, they're sitting there, they're on their phone, and they're talking, and all of a sudden, if you watch replays, it's never like when the ball's coming right at somebody.
Bats.
It's, you know, my wife said bats are worse, but when we're at baseball nowadays, and you see all these statistics when you watch a game, you hit 110 miles an hour.
Right.
That's a little scary.
Yeah, the bats are, when they fly in the stands, that's
scary. Well, bats aren't going 110 miles an hour.
No, they're to do damage.
So it's just something, you know, you try and protect yourself.
Right. Right,
the only serious injury we had was our bad boy was walking out of the dugout, and the guy was on the on-deck circle warming up, and hit him in the head with a bat.
But you see that?
That was his
the on-deck hitter hit the bad boy right next to him taking a practice swing.
I mean, he was
I hate to say that. That is preventable.
Yeah. Yep. He missed 6 months of school. He had to be put in a coma. I mean, they had to bring an ambulance on the field. It was really awful.
Right.
So there's a bad one for you.
Yeah. It was really terrible.
Right. Just in the final minutes before we take a break and say goodbye to you, how was the whole Mexican League thing the weekend? How was the weekend?
The fiesta?
Yes.
It was great. I mean, the guys could tell you. I mean, it was our best ever in 9 years. By having over 6,000 people. And having,
well, it might say goodbye to him now.
I mean, the Lions were insane.
Right.
But if anything, you guys can chime in. It probably hurt us a little Friday because everybody was exhausted from Thursday.
Right. They were.
And then Saturday came back with a good crowd, but you know, good baseball.
Yeah,
you know, sometimes the games went too long. I think they would agree with me there.
Yeah. 4 hours is
not
a
too
long.
Good. You have attended 10.
All right, Mike. Thank you.
4 hours.
Thank you for coming on. Appreciate
it. Thanks, Mike.
Thanks, Mike.
Talk to you soon. We'll take a break here. Come back with the CP2U guys. Yeah, that's it. Hey, welcome back to Eye on the Ball here on 1030 The Voice. I'm Steve Rivera with Mr. Kimball and Mr. Balta from CPR2U. Did I get it right there?
Yeah, you got it right that time.
CPR2U, one of my great guys. I miss your boss or our boss. Who's boss? He's not really your boss, is he? He's like a contract guy. You guys are contract guys?
Mm-hmm. He's our boss.
He's your boss. Yeah, oh, yeah. Lo siento.
Lo siento.
He was online. He's no longer online, so I'm sure he's okay. He didn't hear me. So you had a lot of fun, a lot of baseball, probably baseball fatigue, yada, yada. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun, a lot of baseball, like Mike was saying. But, you know,
you were talking about lines, and then he was talking about not being able to watch the game or whatever.
Right, because they're in line waiting to get food or waiting to get their drinks and stuff like that. And then all of a sudden you hear the crowd yell, foul ball, and then everybody's looking around for it or ducking, you know, and then you hear it hit the metal and you know.
Right.
And
that's the good news.
Yeah,
we like it when it hits metal.
Right,
yeah.
Right, or the concrete wall.
Yeah, it takes a lot of the energy out of the ball. See, that's what people don't understand is that once it hits something, it takes a lot of that energy off, and the energy is what's causing the injuries to the body.
Right.
So it hits something else. And don't get me wrong. I mean, if it ricochets off a chair and still hurts. But it's better than a line drive.
Right.
You know, so you're getting kind of the...
So tell me a little bit more about your new venture, and you're going to be going to a lot of events this year or whatever's left of the year.
Absolutely. So, I mean, this was the second year that CPRDU actually did a standby for the Mexican Baseball Fiesta. Like we said, we had a blast there, a ton of people there. They were having a good time, but we're looking at expanding out. We're going to move on to other venues. We're trying to work with Kino Complex and make sure that if they have any other events that they like us to come for, we do that for them and provide that. We wouldn't even mind traveling along. We've even talked to Mike and possibly moving on to their other options. They have a Las Vegas event that they have. They also have a Phoenix event that they have. So maybe next year we'll follow them along there as they go and you know, wherever they need us.
The traveling CPRTU gang.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's part of our 2U. That's kind of our 2U family.
With you, to you, with
yeah,
you.
You're with you, to you.
There's a song in there somewhere.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so but it could be any sport, though.
Absolutely.
Baseball, football.
Yeah, it doesn't even have to be a sport. I mean, it could be a concert. It could be, you know, just about anything that would require medical standby.
So I'm sure that those are required now, like concerts, like at, let's say whatever, Casino del Sol or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Do they have their own people? Is that what it is, or do they hire out?
It really depends on what the venue is. I mean, a lot of these places, like a great example of that is Tucson Fire that covers that area over there, but they're busy doing their stuff on their own doing that. Where the casinos are located, obviously they're on the reservation, so they have fire and police that are there as well, but they're dedicated to the area that they have to cover. Mm-hmm. So it really depends on the venue. I mean, the concert. They may have a concert out there, like we talked about. And just to clarify, too, the EMS to you, emergency medical standby to you, basically our job is to take care of the spectators, not the actual participants.
Oh, okay. So
that's a big difference on there, because a lot of times, like the baseball team, they probably have their own trainers or their own, and so on. And so, you get into a venue like we talked about, U of A football, so you have trainers and doctors. You have a team doctor, just like the basketball team has a team doctor that travels with them. Well, we're not going to do anything for them, but unless they have to get transported, and that's where the ambulance company will come in and take over. We can assist in loading up, because we're all retired fire and EMS. But basically, in that scenario, we're there for the spectators. So when people are just like, well, why are you guys staying along at a concert? You know, or what happens if somebody gets seriously hurt on the field? Well, we can assist at that point as well. But for us at the Mexican Baseball Fiesta, tried to say that three times fast. We're there for the spectators. So that's where I talk about foul balls or people that might have gotten overheated or some type of environmental injury or something along those lines. That's what we're going to do. So, we can do standbys for anything, concerts, whatever.
CPR to you, CPR to you, CPR to you. Those are my three times of my difficult word to use.
Right.
So you want to talk a little sports?
Absolutely.
Sure, go for it.
So how do you feel after the Washington lost?
Let's not talk about it.
Well, they hung tight pretty well until they got to the end of the game, and that's why you play the full game on there. I saw some of the comments afterwards, why didn't we go for 2 points? And I'm like, well,
2 points? What are you talking about?
There was a comment in there on one of the touchdowns, why didn't we go for 2 points when we were so far down? And I'm like, really? That in the scheme of things, that 2 points didn't really matter at the end of the game.
Where are you reading this stuff? Holy moly.
Yeah, so, you can talk about, what it basically comes down to is, you got to try to minimize your mistakes. You can always finger point, well, this person's injured or this person didn't do what they needed to do. And, these are 17 to 24-year-old kids. And, that's why we see upsets every year, And
exactly. Well, this was not an upset.
No, that I know it's not. But I'm just saying that, you can't really put your finger on one thing. There's a multitude of things. It's going to be interesting the next 2 weeks.
Very much so.
They're traveling to USC. USC is 3-3. So they're going to have a little bit of something to prove. The other thing that happens when you kind of get blown out towards the end like that, your next team tends to look at what your mistakes are to see whether or not they're able to capitalize on that. And so hopefully in your week that you have in between games that you're going to make those adjustments and try to fix those holes in there when you do that. So, and then they're going to head up to Stanford after that.
You sure dissect these things pretty. I don't think it's that simple.
So,
but that's how you do it. If you see that Arizona has a lot of mistakes, I love it when we made a lot of mistakes, we go back and correct them. That's what you're kind of saying.
No, I'm just saying that's one of the things that they can take a look at.
Yes. And I'm saying that I think the opponent creates that mess where they were just better than them and made them look silly or made them have mistakes.
Sure.
And Arizona, would you agree that is going to face those teams this next week and the weekend after?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Where it's not, you can fix as many mistakes, but guess what? You're going to have a team that's going to make you make mistakes.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. Especially when you're playing at USC.
Both and Stanford.
Yeah, and Stanford. You got, their home team's got something to prove.
Right. So when people say, like Mike Balta tells me, you know what, Steve, all I need to do is play my game.
Man, that's not true.
That's not true, right? Uh-uh. Right. Yeah. Agree. Good.
Yeah. No. I don't want to simplify like you're saying. I'm just saying some of the things you can fix that would have changed that are some of the mistakes you made. Mm-hmm. I mean, you have to take a look at it. Every year you have to make adjustments and you really have to exploit what their weaknesses are. Mm.
Don't you think that Washington did that?
Absolutely, they did.
At halftime?
Absolutely, they did.
And you kind of knew that once they had that first drive, it was kind of like, uh-oh, they've showed up.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah, against an inferior team. Not that Arizona's a bad team. Washington was a better team.
Yeah.
They're still a division one football.
Don't cry. I think you're going to cry on me here.
No, I'm not going to cry. I'm not going to cry. You're not never going to see me cry.
Good. But you're a fan? To what level?
I don't know if the, I have a level, but I'm a U of A fan, and I'll stick right. with them no matter what. You've heard me say that before yes, on the other shows, yes. so pick it up and go to the next one.
Yeah, no, and that's how you can do. Yeah. That's how you can do. But I think before the season started, you kind of, if you're a fan, a realistic fan, which I don't know if that, those exist anymore, you kind of said, okay, we, on the front end, we could be pretty good. On the back end of the schedule, good luck.
Yeah.
True.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you take and beat Texas A&M.
Texas Tech.
I'm sorry. Texas Tech. And then, you know.
UCLA.
And we fall to Washington. And then now we're going to have USC and in Stanford. So we'll have to see how it goes.
And I wrote this last week after they lost. I wrote this because I think the previous four or five games gave UA fans hope. Hope that, maybe we're better than what we thought we were.
Nah.
Not so much?
Nah, not so much.
No. No, are you a fan? Yeah, same kind of way?
Yeah, I mean, you know, when I was younger, I was that diehard fan that was like, oh, and we're going to change this and we're going to fix it next. Yes. And, you know, and we've just had decade after decade of we're rebuilding. And, you know,
it's true though.
And you get to a point where you're like, okay, I mean, if we switch gears and we move over to the basketball program, I mean, we very seldomly ever had one where with Lute Olson in charge and nothing, this isn't against Sean Miller, but I'm talking back in the day, we never really had a rebuilding, you know what I mean? We're rebuilding. And so we had an off season. No, we just get after it and it's just what you have to do. And so that's basically what we're looking at now on this process, not the rebuilding, but you know, it starts at recruitment, starts at coaching. We got to go from there. And basically what it breaks down to is, you know, you've got to try to outsmart the opponent. That's why you play.
Yeah, no question. If you're not good enough physically or athletically, you try to kind of be savvy and cunning and whatever word you want to use, because you have to be. There's no question about that. Angles and just being smarter at it, and no mistakes. Yeah, and blah blah blah.
Yeah, I mean, if you take a look at the scheme, a lot of your schemes, they have about 20 base plays, and they're at They're in 20. They've got 20.
He's a former coach, so
level? And where?
At the high school level, and one of the local high schools that's doing very well this year. So,
I didn't know that.
He's a big time coach.
Coach speak. I get coach speak, but he sounds good.
But basically, what happens is that you got about 20 plays total, and then what you do is you cover it in 25 different formations. You know, and so what you're trying to do is that's all the motion and everything that's going back and forth, and it's all about strategy.
Before we take a break here, so as a coach, I don't know if you're a head coach or assistant coach. That doesn't really matter. How many times did you win a game knowing that you were going to lose that game, going into the game?
Oh, boy, I don't know about that. I mean,
does that make sense where you've been the upsetter?
So I was lucky for the program that I was at, because for the 5 years that I was coaching, they were selected to do.
There's more pressure for that, though, because you have to win the game.
Absolutely.
You're expected to win the game, I should say.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And I mean, losing one or two games at the high school level, you may or may not play for go to the playoffs. So, right. Yeah, absolutely.
Right, right. Let's take a break, our last break here, and come back on the other side with my CPR to you guys, Mike and Sean, here at 1030 The Voice. Hey, welcome back to Eye on the Ball here on 1030 The Voice. I'm Steve Rivera with Mike Baltas and Mr. Sean Kimball. Balta, right?
Balta.
It's not plural. It's
not plural.
Shout out to I got the mic part.
Yeah, got the mic part, that's right? Shout out to my brother Mark. He was listening. He would be the Baltas.
Baltas, okay, yeah. We got to get both the Baltas in. So, so that's cool. You're giving me some good stories off the air. Have I asked you this question then? And we'll go to Mr. Balta as well. Given what you do, and you're a former player, were you a former player?
No.
Okay, so then this applies to you, Sean. You used to play, you used to coach. Do you miss the competition? Or do you find it somewhere else?
No, I miss the competition on that. You know, I think we may have talked about this the second month that we came in here several months ago. And, you know, kind of twofold. You have to put on your EMS hat when you do that. We had a We had a pretty bad leg injury that we had sustained at the varsity level at one of the home games that I was there on the sideline for. And ironically, out of the whole area that we were at, I was standing probably about 10 yards from where the kid was, and I come zipping out there, and I was obviously dressed in my coaching gear. I was a different level than varsity, but when I walked out there, he recognized me from me coaching him earlier, and he had a really bad leg injury. He had to have surgery, had to have a rod put in and pins and stuff like that. And you walk out there, and then it's no competition. It's all about the injury and this young man that was in a lot of pain. Mm-hmm. And then it kind of changes the competition level on that, because now everybody's kind of backing off, kind of like we talked about the boxing. But competitive wise, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. So you miss it. So no really way to fill that hole.
No, I mean, here's the thing. I mean, as I've gotten older, I've just found other things to do in that situation. I mean, I would love to. At the time, I was working a job that I was able to go coach, and so right now that's why you get me like every third or second or third month, because you know we actually teach on Wednesday evenings, and this is a day that somebody else was teaching, so mm-hmm. I came in. But I mean, we're for a CPR to you, and we also have a safety to you program that we have that does OSHA and MSHA and stuff like that, and now we're starting up the EMS. To you, we put in a lot of time, and that's not a complaint. That's just what you do for business. Mm-hmm. And so, I don't have the opportunity to go. You know, these kids get off at 3:15 in the afternoon. They're dressed out and on the field by 4, and they go from 4 until 6:30, and that's the time I still have to work. Whereas in my old job that I worked for 25 years, mm-hmm. They afforded that opportunity because I was on call a lot. So
let's switch to basketball real quick. That we have like a few more minutes, Mr. Balta.
Mm-hmm.
What are your hopes?
I hope that we can make it past the first round.
Of the NCAA?
Yeah. Other than that, I just hope they do well.
Really? Is that, that's kind of low expectations.
Well, we're in a rebuilding year. So. Ouch. So.
You are, but you're not.
Yeah. So, I mean... We'll see what happens. I mean, I got a lot of respect for the coach and uh-huh. and his staff, and we'll see how it goes. You know, it really comes down to the coaches. I mean, the players can go out there and play and do what they do, but I think it just comes down to the coaches and how they're coached.
Wow, I agree with you. I think that people think that it's all about the players and how they play for the coach. But I agree with you, because coaches matter.
Yeah, absolutely, or we wouldn't have them.
Exactly.
You know, and...
Oh, you wouldn't pay them $3 million.
Exactly, and it comes down to, you know, if you get a good player that plays for the team and they respect the coaching staff, then they're going to do what the coaching staff, mm-hmm. run the plays that the coaching staff mm-hmm. wants you to play. But if you got players that are out there for themselves and not out there for the team, then, you know... Then they're not going to do so well.
I don't think that that's going to be the case this year.
No.
I think it was 2 years ago,
mm-hmm.
maybe a little last year, but more so 2 years ago. I really like this team. I think it's deep. I think it's talented. How they play is going to be up to the coach.
Right.
I would hope that he would let them play up and down. Mm-hmm. I've asked him every year for the last 10 years, are you going to let him play? Go up and down at least. Mm-hmm. And he says yes. That doesn't always happen. And that doesn't happen. But I think deep down that he's going to let him play this year. You got a couple of players in Green and Mannion who are conducive mm-hmm. to that style.
But mm-hmm. did he not let him because he didn't think they could do it? Or did he just wanted to hold him back and not get...
Is there a third option?
And not get hurt.
What's the third option? There's no third option?
No.
If I was going to throw a third option in there, it'd be depending on what the other team's playing.
Is there a fourth option?
So apparently there is. What do you got?
It's not who he is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not who he is. That's my answer. Right. But I like your answers, but that's my answer. If you are who you are, you're not going to change.
Mm-hmm.
I hope that he changes. I'm not saying that he will. But you know what I'm saying? But all your questions, your statements are
right.
are valid. You're valid. But I had to go to the fourth one.
Right.
No, you understand what I'm saying?
Absolutely. No,
because you're a coach. You know, you are who you are. You're going to play the way you do. Unless you're into something trickery or somehow you're going to throw this offense that you've never used before, you would never do that.
No. You know, here's the problem. I mean, why you talk about rebuilding years is because most of the time what ends up happening is you don't end up hiring a coach that has the same type of at least in football, you don't hire the same one. So you may have one that's all passing. You may have one that's West Coast. You may have one that's just all run. Mm-hmm. And so where you run into a problem is that if they've recruited for 4 years and they've got a whole set of folks that are just runners only, and then mm-hmm. you decide to come in, you're passing, then that's why there's a rebuilding season. And so, you know, one of the things you have to take a look at when you're talking about whether the coach or the players, you know, a lot of people can have that argument, and, you know, I'm going to go back to Lute. And the reason why I do that is that how many years did he have so many vast different young players for him from all over the United States and even out of the country? He still got the same results.
Yeah, the one thing that he did very well is even in rebuilding years or so-called rebuilding years, he played so well in November, you realized, hey, this is not a rebuilding year. Mm-hmm. I mean, there were a couple of times in my time, 90, whatever it was, you know, they were out of the top 25. Mm-hmm. That's the first weekend. They were beating teams that no one expected to be, and they were in the top 10.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, and then they'd, you know, lose a few or whatever, mm-hmm. but they were – They always played well enough to not be a rebuilding year.
Right.
Yeah. 97 was going to be a rebuilding year.
Yeah.
Wasn't it?
Yeah. Yes, it was.
98 was the year that they were going to win it all. And, well, lo and behold, 97 showed up.
Apparently, we didn't get the memo for that one, but we'll take that 97, won't we?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, and, you know, I mean, here's the other side of that, too. I mean, you can look at, since we're staying on basketball, you can look at teams that have workhorses and they get knocked out the first round.
Sure.
Or they don't have good. You know, and so I mean, like I said, back to my original statement, 17 to 23 years old, I mean, they're still trying to figure out who they are. And so sometimes they listen, sometimes they don't. But it really comes down to the coach, you know.
Yeah, no question. You gave me an example, and I love about philosophy and psychology of the sport. You gave me an example when you were a senior, I think it was, a big, good team, very good team. You beat a team one weekend, and you play the same team the next weekend. Of course you're going to beat them big. Well, not always happen.
Doesn't always happen.
Because of the mental part of it.
Absolutely.
And especially at that age where they just go on the field, hey, we are who we are, mm-hmm. and our poop doesn't stink, and guess what? You find out that it does.
The mental pressure gets to you.
Yeah.
Well, part of the thing is when they're on top all the time, you know, then you run into an issue that all of a sudden when you get somebody that is staying with you the whole time or they're ahead and this is a new place that they are not used to being, they sometimes fold. And what ends up happening is, you know, I saw it a couple times in some huddles, and that's you go out there and you're like, okay, we got this. We got a whole second half, and you got kids that are falling apart in the huddle.
Right,
so,
right.
So, you know, and the same thing happens on, you know, the basketball games. I mean, you watch the NCAA playoffs when you get into March Madness and you watch all these kids that were superstars the whole year and they're on the benches over there and they're crying, they got towels over their head, you know, mm-hmm. and they still got 20 minutes
of going. Just maybe in the next 25 seconds, tell me, so you were a senior and you played the X team and you beat them one time and you didn't beat them the next. What was the main reason?
Well, you know, I mean, speculating when, you know, you're talking about a 17-year-old kid trying to remember back, you know, at least three decades. But, I mean, when it comes down to it, I mean, you hear it all the time. Sometimes you look past your opponent. You beat him already the week before, so what's the change? For us, we ran the same plays that we ran the week before. Guess what the other team did? They watched everything we did. They made a defense, and they completely changed their tactics against us, and it worked out well for them.
Right, right. So that goes to the thing that when you first started. So, mea culpa, I agree with you. In that case, yes. Mm-hmm. There was nothing changed. There was no alternative. You guys just said, hey, you beat them bad last time. Let's do it again. Yeah. And it doesn't work that way.
Definition of insanity.
Right, right. Hey, thanks, guys, for coming in.
Thank you for having us.
Good talking to you.
I miss
Bill. If you believe that, I have some land somewhere.
Sounds good. Appreciate it, buddy.
All right.
See you next month.
Thanks, everybody, for listening here on 1030 The Voice. Trusted local news and talk.